Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together again, Lord. It's been a, seemed like a list of few short days, Lord. It always seems like it, but I always look forward to it, Father. And I thank you that tonight we're going to learn about you and how we lose ourselves in you, Lord, and how we abide in Christ, and how we allow you to, the spirit man to come forward and the flesh man to die. And Lord, I thank you for all that you're going to do tonight in Jesus' name. Bless us, Lord, with your presence. Bless us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us all up, Lord, with your power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bless this whole fellowship, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay.
I was talking with my mom today, and she was saying my dad took a week off and said he's going into surgery tomorrow to see if they have to put a stent in because of blood clotting. And so I'm going to pray for that. So, Lord, thank you so much for what you're doing in my father's life, Lord. And we pray that they won't find any blood clotting. You don't have to put a stent in, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that for his salvation, Lord, that you're going to save him out of all of this, Lord, all of his troubles. And we thank you for it, Lord. You are marvelous. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Matt, and we believe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, anyone else? I'd like to pray for someone that's having a lot of troubles. Lord, I just lift up Millie to you, and I thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in her. Lord, she's at a point to where she doesn't understand why all of these things are happening to her. But, Lord, you do. And I ask, Father, that you give her a dream, a vision, or something to tell her if there's something wrong or if this is just a test of her faith. And I thank you for it, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, I know and I understand that we just have to hang on and endure in our faith until this healing manifests or whatever it is, or whatever situation we're in. You want us to endure in our faith. And you're teaching us patience. And I thank you for that, Lord. I don't know if that's what you're doing with Millie, but, Father, I ask and I pray that you show her what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else? What about a praise report? Praise report, a testimony.
Hey, guys. God bless you. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, let me tell you, God is awesome. Check this out, okay? We prayed for a sister. And I'm going to try to make a short version here, okay? We prayed for a sister that was had a job working with another woman that was not saved, that was just tormenting her. And her attitude was just, praying, Lord, get her out of there. Lord, get her out of there. You know, so our counsel was stop that and be the light. Start blessing her, you know. The Lord's trying to shape you. She's not the problem. You are. You know, and that's the counsel because we've all had that person, you know, and there's always going to be somebody to annoy us, you know, because it's us. But anyways, we told her, you know, start changing your attitude, blessing her, you know, and just praise God for whatever. Praise God you have a job. Well, anyways, she started doing that, and it's been about 2 weeks, and I just got a text today. She said that woman just put her 2 weeks in. Isn't that cool? To see the Lord moved her out of there. Isn't that awesome?
Amen. You know? That's awesome. Yeah, we've heard quite a number of stories the same way, what you're talking about there. Just go ahead and bless them. Quit trying to strive against the what the Lord's doing. Yeah.
Right.
Praise
Isn't
God.
That awesome?
That is
Praise
awesome.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I love it when God does that. And she understands now what's going on, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. And now, awesome. I mean, because, you know, somebody else is going to take that girl's spot. But, you know, I mean, I was guilty of that, too. You know, oh, they're doing this to me. They're doing, you know, just smile and bless them. Don't worry about it, you know?
Amen. I put them there to kill the flesh. They're flesh killers is what they are.
Praise Amen. God. Praise God for him. You're right.
You bet. Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have a prayer request because her testimony really encourages me to share this request. Okay. I think we have shared it one time. It's my daughter's mother-in-law. My heart really hurts for her because she's a grandma, and her son and daughter-in-law adopted a child, and she was real close to him. And they've had a baby also 3 years ago, and she's not seen the baby, and they stopped letting her see Alex, who they adopted, and she was real close to, over something really, really trivial. It's just a real terrible spirit, and so I got a chance when we were visiting her church one night because our granddaughter was being dedicated, and the pastor said to pray for the person next to you, so I got to pray for Robin, and that's what I prayed over her. I prayed that God would enable her to rejoice in the fact that he knows what's going on, and the blessed Chris, and also that Chris would, her son would come around to seeing what he's doing, how he's hurting and tormenting his mother. And I'm just praying too that she won't be feeling this torment anymore, that she'll be able to release it to the Lord, and that Chris's heart will be changed and that spirit broken.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Debbie that this is going to happen to Robin in Jesus' name, that she's just going to start blessing them.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right.
Amen.
You got anything else? Go ahead, David.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I was waving at Willie's daughters.
Oh, okay. Hey, girls and boys. Hey, Judy. What is that? You're trying to get over down and wave at you, aren't you? All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony? Or praise report.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Gaynold.
I wanted to give a praise report. You know, last week we prayed about the vertigo that I was experiencing, and that is all gone. So praise the Lord. And also my eyes are better. They're still kind of tear once in a while, but they tell me it's because my eyes are dry. So I'm believing that the Lord will have my eyes to lubricate themselves. So, anyway, I just wanted to give that praise report.
Okay.
Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah. Answer to prayer. Thank you, Father.
Sure is.
All right. Okay, Angelica, go ahead, girl. Go ahead, Angelica. Let me unmute you here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay. My testimony is I live in an apartment, and the apartment's been a bit of a cross for me, and the Lord just kind of used it to humble me in a lot of ways. But somebody moved in across the way from me that I just heard a spirit of cancer on them, and I just smelled that cigarette's real heavy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, just that real heavy cigarette smell. And so I just kind of griped about the cigarette smell for a while, and I was like, you know, Lord, just give me an opportunity to pray with this man. And so the Lord provided an opportunity one day, and I was just able to pray with him and just, let him know that the Lord loved him, and, spoke healing over him. And I want to say it was pancreatic cancer, but I can't remember for sure. But several weeks later, he stops me in the hallway. He don't remember my name. He was like, hey. I was like, yes, sir. He's like, I just want you to know I don't have cancer anymore, and I know it was you. I was like, well, praise the Lord. I was like, well, you know, the Lord loves you. And, it was just the devil really tried to take that testimony away from me, with doubt and unbelief and things of that nature. But he's like, I know it was you because because you live it. That's what he said.
Amen.
And I said, yes, sir, I do.
Praise God. And
that's my
awesome. That's did he come to Christ over that?
No, I think he's really struggling. He's a veteran, and he's, you know, has the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and we've been praying over him and stuff like that. But yeah, he I think he's just got a lot of hurt and unforgiveness in his heart. But I've been praying for him, just for the Lord to
Amen.
Touch his heart. But I believe he has some faith.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for bringing that man in a mighty way, Lord, delivering him of all of that bondage he's in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
all
Lord.
All right.
Thank you. And I just wanted to pray, if you could just pray in agreement with me.
Okay.
I just want to confess before the brother and Lord God that I've been just really distracted, Lord God, and concerned with worldly things concerning my job and other things, Lord God. And I just confess those sins before you, Lord, before my brethren, and I ask you, Lord God, to forgive me, Lord God, and to just draw me to you, Lord God, and to incline my ears into you, Lord God, into your spirit. And I ask you, Lord God, to just set me on fire, Lord God, to run after you, Lord God, in a mighty way, Lord God, and to just renew my mind, to be in the mind of the spirit and not in the mind of the flesh, Lord God, and to strengthen me in every way, Lord God, and to really and to show me something new, Lord God, and just help my, I just thank you for all the deliverance that you've been giving me, Lord God, concerning my heart and things that are just coming out, Lord God, and it's not easy, but I just thank you so much that you love me enough, Lord God, to draw all these things out of me, Lord God, that I might have the healing and the blessing. But I really just ask that you would have people pray for me concerning the mind of the flesh, that that I not walk in it, Lord God, and help me, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Angelica that you're doing a great mighty work and a quick work in her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for complete deliverance and restoration in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my. All right.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Yeah, Michael, this is Malcolm here.
Hi, Malcolm here.
Hi. I just got up.
What happened last night?
Well, we were up all night, and I was with the group until about I think about 8:30 or so this morning, and so then my daughter and I got some sleep. They've got the situation is there's a neighbor of ours that has I didn't realize this, but she's had the symptoms of dementia. She just took off yesterday morning local time about 9 o'clock before breakfast with a white sweater and no socks but shoes. We found some tracks. I found some tracks, but they weren't hers. Anyway, they have an infrared chopper going. It's a rural area here. I can hear the chopper from our place. We're pretty close, but there's a lot of red tape to getting the infrared chopper, imaging chopper going. But it's a huge operation. There's several counties involved, the current team has got some Aries members in it and whatnot. So the area they're searching now is really difficult terrain. It's really steep, some of it, and it's very heavy underbrush and all that kind of thing. And there's a river, a creek, a large creek going through there. So it's anyway, they just don't know if maybe somebody picked her up somehow and took her to the hospital with her dog. But it's an 83, I think, year old lady with a dog, which the dog is weird. You know, you'd think they'd go to find it with a dog. And there have been 5 cougars sighted in the area recently, and 3 have been killed, but there's still a couple they haven't gotten. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon.
All right. So they haven't found a trace of her yet?
Yes. We found tracks starting from the house, and they've got good positive tracks, but they're going up over a hill into kind of a remote area.
Mm-hmm.
But and her tracks are typical for her. According to her son, they do kind of wander around, going back and forth from one side of the road to the other. So it's pretty sad, you know.
Yeah.
So, but man, it's been what? See, it was 9 o'clock yesterday. So here at local time, it's 5 o'clock here. The next day. So it's been well over 24 hours, 30-something hours. So everybody's kind of wiped out. People are bringing food, you know, and they're good friends of ours. So,
been 36 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead.
I had a dream about this local church here, which is posted on the website, and this lady. I've never publicly identified this person I saw in the dream, but it was her. This is like the dream I had was about 8 years ago or so. That I won't go into the details of the dream. If somebody wants to look it up, that's fine. But that was the person that I didn't identify in the write-up. But David and I and the others did.
Okay. Was it detailing just a brief? Was it detailing what's happening now?
No. The dream was that. The impression I got in the dream was she was the person that of the people in the dream. It was called the graveyard dream,
okay,
church graveyard, and she was the. I probably shouldn't say this publicly because it is just too identifying.
Sure.
Anyway,
yeah.
If somebody wants to kind of, without me going into the details, they could probably figure it out. I just don't want to get too specific.
Sure. Okay.
But it was kind of a promise to my heart, I guess. And I'm kind of holding it to that right now.
Okay. Praise God. Yep. You know, speaking of that, about getting us all ready, I know that we've gotten dreams and a couple of two or three or four or five dreams just here in the last day or two about the Lord sealing the bride, it looks like, sealing the bride. And it's those that aren't, that are disobeying him, that are going to be kept out. And there are some that are disobeying. I don't know about y'all, but I'm talking about the ones that I do know about here locally, and I'm telling you, if you're doing everything you know to do in Christ, don't worry about it. But if you're not, and God's told you to do something and you're not doing it, you better get to doing it. You better repent and get after it. Because it looks like God's fixing to seal this up. And if what that means is that we're fixing to go into this thing, you know, ever how long that takes, I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I don't do dates anymore. Dates will get you in trouble. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hey, brother. Speaking on that subject, I asked the Lord the other day, I was driving, and I said, Lord, when's this tribulation going to start? And I just felt like he said, clearly, I heard the word soon. I was like, well, amen.
You heard the what?
I heard the word soon.
Sin?
No, soon. S-O-O-N.
Oh, soon. Well, you know as well as I do that God's soon ain't my soon. he told me a couple of things here 5 years ago. He said, very soon this is going to happen. Well, 5 years later, I'm still waiting. But, you know, God doesn't deal in time. He deals in eternity. And so we just have to endure in our patience to watch and see what happens. But I like
remember you sharing that.
What's that?
I remember you sharing that.
Oh yeah. So we just have
a testimony.
Ma'am? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I also was healed from that attack of vertigo like Arnold had. It came on, and I battled it for a couple of days, but praise God, I don't have any symptoms, and I've been healed. And also, I see some beauty of healing in my family. More beauty is unfolding, and I see the Lord healing a lot of hurt and just a lot of pain within my family. Nobody else might not be able to see it, but I could see it, and the Lord told me, and I'm holding on to that promise. So I just praise Him for healing my family and bringing beauty from such brokenness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yep. We just have to keep on believing, don't we?
Yep.
Keep on Amen. Believing for that household salvation. Praise God. Okay. Anyone else? Hey, Malcolm, can I ask you a question?
I just unmuted myself. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. Was that you that, texted me about Romans 6?
No.
Okay. Who was that? Was that you, Debbie?
Yeah.
Well, I don't have that number in my phone, and I guess that's why it didn't show up. That must be a new number.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Now I know. I am in the know. Okay. Anybody else got a testimony, a praise report, or would like to pray? Hey, Ken. All right, anybody got something they'd like to share? Go ahead, Matt.
I just want to praise the Lord a little bit and then pray a little bit if I can. I just want to praise Him. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord, for all the stuff you've done in my life, Lord, and being patient, Lord, in my life, and I know I'm not the only one you're patient with, Lord. But I want to thank you. You're so awesome, Lord, and so patient and loving kindness. And I thank you, Lord. And, Lord, I confess my sins, Lord, before you of all within my heart, Lord, of disobedience, any rebellion, lust, Lord, everything, Lord. I don't want anything in my heart, Lord, that would keep me out of being in your will, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for it. And I praise you, Lord, that you're doing a good work in me, Lord. And I believe it by faith, Lord, that I am going to come to that hundredfold by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your great grace that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, it's Chris. Can I share something real fast?
You sure can. Go ahead, brother.
Well, I had a little experience the past couple of weeks that's been real stressful for me, and I've been somewhat distracted, like I believe Tracy was talking about earlier. And I had a multiple days off in a row, so went before the Lord, did a lot of studying, did a lot of praying. And some of you know that my wife and I live way back in the mountains, and over the past couple of days with spring starting to come out and everything, we have a lot of bird feeders out and around and small plants and stuff. And Friday night, it's like, oh man, we forgot to bring the stuff in. The bears are getting coming out of hibernation. They're coming out. They're getting pretty prevalent. And so we just prayed over our stuff. And I said, Lord, you know, just protect the things that you've given us to take care of. And he did, of course. And I believe Saturday night, I had this real quick snippet of a dream. And it was that we had a bear family come through and tear up everything here in our around our house, and garbage cans and bird feeders and stuff. And so Sunday evening before we went to bed, I was like, you know, I told my wife, you know, I had this dream. We need to take in the bird feeders and all the small plants and get everything in. And don't you know, Sunday night, the bear family came through and all they found was empty poles and empty pots, and they tore all that stuff up. But praise the Lord, he saved everything. And then when we got up Sunday morning, Monday morning when we got up, I said, see, bear came through just like the Lord told me in the dream. And I learned a real lesson from that. You know, it's like we always got to be prepared. And when we ask, we've got to be ready to receive. And the Lord's been chasing me for some things along and rebuking me. And I'm so very grateful for that. And I've been thinking about that dream and the result in the spot on results that the Lord puts in our life. It kind of reminded me, there's a parable there of the beast that's coming, and that we always need to be obedient. And we got multiple Bible verses the past couple of days to confirm that. And I think it's just a real blessing that if we ask the Lord and believe, like we've been talking about, and he'll talk to us, and we can be obedient, and we'll be in his will. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else?
Hey, guys. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
I come from the Keys of the Kingdom. I'm friends with Tracy, so.
Okay. Where are you living?
I live in Colorado.
Ah, okay. Still cold out there?
Trinidad, Colorado, right on the New Mexico-Colorado border.
Okay. Awesome. Glad to have you in here.
65, but you know, it's been out if I turn my video off, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we're having a little trouble with your audio there then. A little bit, not too much.
Right. It's better if I turn my video off, so I just wanted to show you guys, so.
Okay. Praise God. Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to share? All right. Let's see if I can find that deal that Debbie sent. Okay. Yeah, she said, can we share thoughts on Romans 6, being freed from sin? How reckoning ourselves free from sin impacts our Christian life and authority in prayer and our walk with God. All right. How reckoning ourselves free from sin impacts our Christian life and authority in prayer and our walk with God. Okay. All right. That's good enough. Debbie, did you want to preface that with anything, or did you just want to have a general discussion on that? Because
yeah, a general discussion. Jenny and I have been talking about it a lot and searching scriptures and just the awesomeness of what God has on that for us to reckon ourselves dead to sin, and just wonder what everyone else felt about that.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. You know, let me see if I got it here right quick. Let me get my other deal here. Get set up here. So we're going to come out of Romans 6. I think I quoted Romans 6:11 when I sent the email out. You know, and that's something that God's placed on my heart as well. And matter of fact, I'll probably be teaching a little bit on that. Even so, Romans 6:11 says, even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. Neither present your members unto sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. And so, having said that, does anybody want to venture a comment on that, on what we're talking about here? Because this is y'all's fellowship here now.
Yeah, I would, Michael.
Okay, go ahead, Denny.
Since we've been listening now and been part of the unleavened bread, and we've at first we noticed our faith was really increasing considerably, and I know in my own life I thought, you know, that the faith being the substance, you know, of things hoped for, you know, and we want to obtain the substance, the thing we're praying for. But in the meantime, we have to stay there in faith, believing, trusting God, go through the trial of our faith and whatever it takes, and then knowing that God, it will be God working in us, his power working in us to transform us, you know, and to, you know, get, you know, eventually bring the substance, you know. So I know, and then when it came to this reckoning yourself dead unto sin, I really had to look hard at that and thought, have I been doing that? I've been a Christian all these years. And then, but so I started approaching those scriptures with the faith aspect of it, the God, I'm just going to trust and look upon myself as being dead and just take you at your word. And I'm going to, you know, I know my faith will be tried and I'll be tested. And, but I'm just, you, Lord, what's the result going to be? I want to answer these prayers. And that's probably been a year and a half ago or so like that. And I've been noticing lately that I'm not hardly even being tempted anymore like I used to be. And in James, it talks about you're being tempted when you're drawn away of your own lusts and enticed. And of course, when you give in, then sin is conceived and, you know, sin works death. But I thought, I know there's a, you know, that God has been answering my prayer to be in the reckoning of looking upon myself as dead because of what Christ did and knowing that it's already been done. It's a done deal already. Not, you know, and trusting in that fact. But I notice lately that I'm not dealing with the old man like I used to. It's like it's been really deadened. Or dead. It's like I'm dead into sin right now. I don't know where this, how far this will go. And, you know, and I know we all can potentially sin, but I really haven't been sinning. I haven't been giving in to the temptations that used to come and where you yield to the flesh and you're asking forgiveness and that. But I've just noticed recently a real victory, an overcoming victory over these things. And so I know that it's, you know, because of the faith and then the promise. And of course, what Jesus did, Jesus made this all possible, but that, you know, his power, I'm learning that his power will begin to work in me or work in us as we trust him to answer those prayers. And then you have to wait on, there's a season of waiting. And I suppose the works we do is overcoming those temptations by, you know, by yielding to the spirit instead of to the flesh. But I know it's a tremendous deadening in the flesh man. It's especially in the area of temptation. So I'm just, you know, thankful to the Lord and for the teaching, because, you know, since we've been listening and catching on to the faith and then, you know, how the faith works is this awesome, how you have a promise from God and then, you know, that can be trusted. And then you have to endure the trial of your faith, but viewing the end, seeing the end as although it's over, you know, it's from the beginning, right? When you begin to pray, see the end, you view that I have the end. I have that product already. You know, we have it and trusting in it. And, but I see he's been faithful. I've really been faithful and I'm excited and delighted. You know, I've just, you know, I really feel like I'm really walking with God in a whole new dimension, like not stumbling and here and there and just,
You know, I've heard so many in our area lately, quite a bit, you know, the comment is, well, you can't be perfect and we all sin. And then that whole thing has been challenged through the teaching that we've been learning, that God has a walk for us, that we can walk without sinning. We can be above the sin, you know, given into sin. And that's God's plan for us. But we're beginning to experience some of that. It's not that I never will sin again, but you know, I'm just thankful that for that. I feel faith and I feel like you're pleasing the Lord and you're confident before the Lord when you pray and so I'm just thankful that, but it's that faith in what he, you know, the promise that he said, if you reckon yourself indeed dead, understand what dead man can't sin. So I was viewing myself as just dead in Christ, like the old man is nailed to the cross and believing that it's just trusting the Lord that it's dead. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like he's answering that prayer, that power is coming. It's real. I mean, it works. And so I'm just thanking Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's because you've been walking by faith that God's going to help you to overcome these things. And it ain't nothing you're doing. It's except just walking by faith, right?
Yes.
And that goes back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, David quotes quite often. It said, but we all with unveiled faith, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we get one trial over and another one comes up. We pass that trial and then another one. Next thing you know, we're breezing through these things because we understand it's God working in our lives to overcome these things. Yeah. And that's what all these trials are for, right?
Yes.
That's what the trials are for. The trials are for sanctification. Go ahead, David.
I was just, would you mind if I read right from Romans 6:1 up to, where do you read, stop off at?
You can read the whole thing if you'd like.
I just like to read up to where you stop. I really like Romans 6 a lot, and I like to just go through the whole chapter, because Paul's got such a build through it. Would that be fine? Where did you stop at?
Yes, sir. I think I stopped at 14, didn't I, Matt?
I'm gonna read from 6:1 to 6:14, if that's okay with everyone. It just it builds really well. What he's saying.
Yeah.
I'll also read from the ASV version.
Yeah.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that has died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death no more has dominion over him. For the death that he died once to sin once, but the life that he liveth unto God. Even so, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lusts. Neither present your members as sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself unto God as alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace.
Amen. You want to make any comments on what we just read?
Well, we can go back through it a little bit here. Initially, Paul is talking about sin. We're getting the just idea what sin is all about because everybody's been exposed to it. Everybody's got the disease. It's like being a walking dead. You got that sin all over you. But then he's talking about how now, through our baptism, we believe that we were baptized with Jesus unto death. And because of this baptism, we were also raised with him in this newness of life with Christ at the resurrection. And because of that likeness of death, we also have that likeness of the resurrection of a new man. And because we're taking this by faith, that it's no longer we that live, but Christ lives in us, he's saying that this death allowed us to be free from the law now so that we can walk in newness of life in the grace of Christ.
Okay, let's stop there just a second, if you don't mind, and kind of dwell on that part right there. That death, what's the death of? That death is of the flesh, right? And so when we die to the flesh, then we're raised like Christ is in the spirit, right? So then our spirit man becomes in control, and we're doing the things that God wants us to do. But then, so we don't allow the flesh any longer to come up above water, do we? We try not to anyway. And then if we do, we just repent and go back and tell God, you know, God, I'm so sorry that I messed up here, but I know that you're you are God of great grace, and I'm just believing, Lord. And we keep on. We might have to go around the mountain again. That's okay. You know, we've all had to go around that mountain two or three times, and some of us more than others because we're a little bit more hard-headed. You know, I'm talking about myself here. And but then once we get it, then that's like Denny was talking about, then that's not a problem with us anymore. We've overcome that particular sin that has hindered our walk with Christ because we have killed that flesh. We don't no longer have to worry with it. Okay, let's see. We have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Well, what was his death? His death was a physical, fleshly death, wasn't it? So that's what we have to do. We have to die to the flesh. And we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what we're looking for right there. We're looking for that manifestation. It's faith that we're looking for the manifestation, right? And with faith, we're calling those things that are not, like if we talked about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're looking at faith to get us to that manifestation of that perfect man, into that resurrection life that Christ had gotten us to. Okay, David, go ahead, brother. Anybody else want to say anything? That's fine. I can't hear you, Ken.
Now you can, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we start partaking in his divine nature in that way, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. How do we partake of that divine nature? The only way we can partake of it is to renew our mind with the Word of God and understand what it is to walk like Christ. And that's the prerequisites of our walk with Christ, is to understanding the Scriptures and putting the Scriptures in our heart. I guess that's what you were talking about, right, Ken?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tracy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to add pretty much what he was saying as well. I agree that, you know, the old saying, you become like the thing or the person that you worship, you know? And it's so true that, you know, if you find out who Jesus is and you worship him, you'll start to become like him, you know, as opposed to when you worship sin, you know, like when you start worshiping and putting up on high like porn. You watch a lot of porn. Well, guess what? You start to become like that, you know. So we need to, I think it's important that we know who Jesus is, you know. You'd be surprised a lot of people don't even know who he is, but claim to follow him. How can you follow somebody if you don't know what they're about, you know?
Amen. Well, just like you were talking about, if you sit in front of a TV all day, that's what you're going to become. You're going to become what that TV's spewing out.
Right.
But if you put your mind and your eyes on the Word, then that's what you're going to become. You're going to become that spiritual man that God wants you to become. You're going to understand what it is to walk like Jesus walked. That's, you know, if you feed that spiritual man, that spiritual man is going to win the battles for you. But if you feed that fleshly man, he's the one that's going to be winning the battles. And you got to ask yourself, which one is more important to you? Which one do you do the most during the daytime? Do you feed the flesh or do you feed the spirit? And whichever one you're doing, that's what you're going to become. All right. Go ahead, David, or anybody else that wanted to comment on that.
I just want to make a real quick comment again. I've said this a few times before. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but for me personally, now I could have read Romans probably 20 years ago, Romans 6, and I never would have caught the idea that I was free from sin, or else I never would have believed it, actually. I would have never thought it was capable of doing those things, to look at a new life in Christ. I would have thought, well, yeah, that's just something you have because, well, you have it by faith, everybody gets it, but I didn't think the manifestation of it could be possible in this life. Now, it probably wasn't until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I was able to start manifesting that walk in Christ. And even then, even though I have it now, there's times where I still fail, I still stumble. But I can read Romans 6 and I can know it to be true now. I can know it's a real thing that you can do. You can be free from sin. You can say no. You can walk away. I've been able to walk away from sins, the porn stuff and all that. Years ago used to attack me. I couldn't get away from. But before I had that baptism of the Holy Spirit and had that ability from God to do these things, I myself could not do it. And I think what you do have in a lot of the church, which we know, you have a lot of good people that really love the Lord, but they don't necessarily have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, so they don't have that power to overcome. So they don't believe that is a possibility. They believe they're just going to be sinners saved by grace. But we're telling people, hey, listen, there's a new life in Christ, and you don't have to be that sinner anymore. And now you can be saved. And I'm not saying you're not going to be walking completely free from things, because we still have a dual nature that can come in on us anytime, once in a while. Satan can still entice us. It doesn't mean we give in, but we still have that temptation, or things can come in our mind that we have to rebuke or cast off or not get carried away with. But before that baptism of the Holy Spirit, at least on my part, I might not have had that ability to say no. I would have been maybe drawn away in my lusts. I'm just going to let people know, and if anybody's listening to us, there is a power to overcome that you need to do this too, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't have that. This might sound over the top, like, oh, you guys are crazy. You can't do that. You're lying. Well, yeah, it does sound like we might be lying, but unless you get that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you aren't going to be able to walk this walk either as much. It really is important to get that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead, Willie. Did you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Anybody else want to comment? Yes, go ahead, Wade.
The other day, my wife and I were sitting with our neighbor, who is a good friend of my wife, and she's Baptist. And she said, well, we were talking about Christianity, and she said, she made a statement that she felt that because she was human, you know, I'm only human, therefore I sin. And I didn't click in Romans 6, I clicked into being born again as a new creation. And I told her, no, we're not mere humans. And it seems to have ruined our friendship. Are we a new creation the instant we believe? Or is it, I know that it's progressive that we don't see the fullness of it until, you know, but
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're a new creation in Christ. Isn't that what the word says? So yeah, we believe what the word says. So yeah, we're not that old sinful man. She's trying to put herself under the law. And when you put yourself under the law is only for one thing as far as a new covenant believer is for. That's to point out sin to us. That's all. That's all it's for.
So bring us to Christ.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So yeah, you were correct. I'm sorry.
She said she's a new baby Christian.
Oh yeah.
But she's been a Christian for a while. She just hasn't been growing. She says she's growing now, and she's closer to God than she's ever been while she's been with us. But she's left us. So I asked for prayer for her. Her name is Teresa, and I asked for prayer for her because I want to see her continue to grow, and us too. I mean, it helps us. What we minister to her, God's ministering to us.
Amen. All right. What's that, Jeanette?
I wasn't wrong to say that, but I kind of wish now that we're having this conversation that I went away to Romans 6 instead of...
No, that's okay. What you did was what you told her the truth. You said what you needed to say, what God wanted you to say. So that's all she needs to know. And then that'll plant a seed to her, and she'll go in there and check for herself what the Word of God says rather than listening to some preacher tell her what it said. Amen. All right, let's pray for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just bless this lady. We bless her, Lord, mightily. We thank you, Father, that you're going to place in her a hunger for the Word of God and quit listening to those apostate preachers out there telling her that she can't never live the overcoming life, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to do a mighty work in this lady in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just ask and pray that she'll come back to Wade and ask her exactly what he was talking about. And he'll be able to quote what we're talking about tonight, how that we can die to self and allow Christ to come alive in us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, you believe that, Wade?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. I believe she's going to come back. She's going to have questions for you. You just need to have the answers for her. And don't, you know, and just tell her what we talked about tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
You think she's open to maybe some reading from the UBM website?
Not exactly. She won't even come to our house now.
We've prayed about that. We know that's going to get knocked down. I've seen that happen. We pray for peace to come between you two. If we didn't, this Lord, the priest returned, and the differences are gone by, and this all goes away, and we can all have friendship and restore our fellowship. But you know, that Salvation Incident Progressive, that's a great book, too, for some of that.
Amen.
All right. I believe she's going to come around, brother. You just be ready. Amen. All right, Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else got something to comment on dying to self? Go ahead, Matt.
I was wondering when he was going to see. I just wanted to pray 5 and 6, if I can. I just kind of feel led to. So, Lord, we thank you that we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, Lord. And we thank you that we are also going to be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that this is our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. And we thank you, Lord, that it is done away in Jesus' name. That we should no longer be in bondage to sin. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you?
Go ahead, Angelica.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with the brother earlier that was speaking on about, you know, the church and some of the things that you believe prior to being filled with the Holy Spirit. One thing that really stuck with me was, you know, before I got saved, I always had a, you know, just a form of godliness, and I was really aware of sin because, you know, the Lord gave us a conscience, and I was always very grieved about the things that I did, only I didn't have the ability to overcome that. And, you know, when I came to the Lord and he just totally removed the veil from my eyes and I saw the world for what it was, I was just totally horrified. But the most amazing thing was that, you know, that there was deliverance and that, you know, as long as your heart was willing to put down that sin and, you know, show forth, you know, to the Lord that you were willing and you meant it, that the Lord was going to provide the power for you to overcome, because that was a very conflicting thing in my spirit. Was if the Lord requires a thing, why am I not able to do it? But I was outside of the body, and I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, the Lord provides the power for you to overcome by faith through grace, and it's the most amazing thing to be able to just repent and give it to the Lord, and he cleanses you of that unrighteousness, and you're now able to walk in freedom and wholeness in that area and minister to people. And the best part about that was that you can fly as fast as you want to in the Lord. You can get at it and just really, you know, take on all of these things, you know, as fast as you want. You walk closer with the Lord. You're able to partake of the Lord and his Spirit and his presence. And you can learn and receive more when you're cleansed in that way, through putting down, you know, that sin and reckoning yourself dead and realizing it, that it's not anything that, you know, that, that you need to hold on to, you know what I mean? That being in Christ is far greater than any of these sins. And, you know, our body, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that really convicted me, was because this is a vessel of righteousness, and all of you guys is vessel, you know, it's a vessel of righteousness, and you want that power of God flowing through there. And you want to see people healed. You want them to be able to receive Christ. You want them to you know, just understand there's a difference between you and the people who are walking in religion, and this is the only way to manifest that, is by reckoning yourself dead to sin and just chasing after the Lord in that righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Let's talk about it some more. Listen, we just barely skimmed the surface. Go ahead, Willie. You're going to have to get that sippy cup out your mouth now. All right. Go ahead, brother.
I was reading through Romans, and I was sitting on the bus. And, you know, it almost, you know, when you read it, it looks exactly like a duty. Like, this is your duty. You got to have a decisive mind to choose. Make a decision. Reckon yourself dead or, you know. And so that's how it kind of hit me, in the sense of, you know, you got to make a choice. Do you reckon yourself dead? Are you alive in Christ? Not kind of like, you know, doing it in your own power, but there got to be a decision, you know, made up in your mind. And with that decision, you know, a complete surrendering, you know, to God to empower you to walk in it. You know, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And so even though I sat there and I was like, the first thing I perceived from it was a duty. Like, this is a duty. This is an every single day duty. When sin presents itself unto you, whether it be sexual desires, whether it be if you want to say something evil about your coworker, the bitterness that you have in your heart against any coworker, you know, are you going to make the decision to let it go? Now on that decision, you got to really look for the power of God, you know, to give you that, you know, how can I say it? To take that, you know, transformed, you got to look for the power of God to execute it. You got to, you know, give yourself over to the power of God, you know, for it to be executed. But really, you know, there's something, you know, I kind of makes me think of, you know, when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And he could have said, nah, that's crazy. And God's like, well, you know, are you trusting in me? You know, do you believe on me? You know. And that, you know, the world for us is like that son. Or that daughter, you know, that, you know, sacrifice that. And, you know. That's what I really saw, and it made me think of that scripture. What is that scripture? I know you quote it a lot. It's about present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, at the end it says, which is your reasonable, I don't know if some say reasonable duty. I don't know if, you know, your other Bibles that say it the other way, but I think I only remember it in the King James way, or it says your reasonable service or your reasonable duty. I don't want to quote it wrong. But in that, I am seeing, like, if you're in the military, you know, you have reasonable duties. And then you have, you know, faith in your commander, you know, after that, that, you know, he's leading you into what needs to be done. You know what I mean? If I'm not saying it right, just let me know if anyone, you know, wants to help me out. But that's what I really got from, you know, reading 11 through 14 when I've read it.
Okay, here's another one I'm going to throw at you. And that's Matthew 11 and 12. Now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force. God's already given us the righteousness, right? By faith, that's how he's given it to us. But he wants us to fight for it. We have to fight the good fight of faith to take what's ours in those heavenly places and bring it down here and let it be manifested in each one of us, right? That's what God wants us to do. We have to fight for it. And the only way we can fight for it is on our knees. That and then the word of God. And to have that manifestation purely of Christ, what does manifest mean? That means to make visible, don't it? I believe that's what it means, something like that. To make visible, to come out, people to see it in you. That's to become visible in this earthly realm that we're walking in right now. But we have all of these things available to us in the heavens. God's already given them to us in the Word of God, but we have to take them. We have to walk the walk of faith out, like what he was talking about. And you know something? I don't remember. It doesn't make any difference. Here's what he said about walking in faith, this overcoming life. And the way you do that is day by day, minute by minute. If you look ahead of you and see all your life in front of you, you're going to fail. That's why God tells you, just worry about today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because you worry about today, you walk it out, and you'll be fine. Because today turns into tomorrow, then you work that one out. You see what I mean? But if you look ahead in your life and you say, oh, man, I look behind, I can see how much failure I've been through. Lord, there ain't no way I can make it. Well, I can do it in one day's time, can't I? I can walk this out one day. Lord, I just get up. I'm going to look in that mirror, and I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to go out, and you're going to tell me what to do. I'm going to let you lead me all the way. You're going to tell me what to do, Lord, because I'm going to be asking all day long. Remember what the Lord said in John 14? He said, you ask anything in my name, I give it to you. That's just my paraphrasing it, but that's exactly what he said. And so that's how we walk this walk out. We do it minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And then it doesn't look so big to you. Or does it? That's the way I like to look at it anyway. I look at it like that, you know, and it allows me, as Willie was talking about, not to go back and judge somebody for what they've done to me. I said, well, wait a minute, me and Jesus now. It's me and Jesus. I ain't got to worry about what this guy's talking about here. All I got to do is bless this guy. He slaps you on the face. Dead men don't react, do they? That's right. Okay, that's good, Willie. Glory to God. Anybody else want to chime in here? Go right ahead.
Yeah, I got something to share.
All right.
I like verse. I like thinking of it when thinking of Jesus, when he says he suffered, but he became obedient by the things he suffered. So he had to suffer in the flesh. We don't tend to think of him that way. I never used to. He was just perfect because he was Son of God, but he was tempted. The Son of Man, and he was tempted, and he suffered in his flesh by not giving in to those cravings that wanted to satisfy, and he suffered and became obedient unto death. But so 1 Peter 4 is says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind, for whoever has suffered in the flesh or the carnal mind has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the life a time in the flesh no longer by human passions, but by the will of God. So it takes a suffering. It takes a suffering in the
self
else to suffer. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Our flesh don't like to do that, does it?
No.
We don't. It doesn't like to give in to the spirit. It wants to guide the spirit life around. You know, I don't care. I'm gonna watch this ball game up here instead of looking for Jesus. I'm gonna watch this this program on TV about whatever. You know, they got some good ones on TV. I guess I hadn't watched TV in so long. I don't even know what's on it anymore. Praise God, but. You know, that's the thing about it. We have to make a conscious effort to get in the Word, ask the Lord to put a hunger in our heart to get in the Word and learn what it is to walk like Jesus walked. He said, the things you've seen me do, you're going to do. Well, how are you going to do them if you don't know what he did and what he expects of us? And that's getting back into the Word again. It's all about getting in the Word, learning what God wants us to do. And that'll give you, and I believe it was Debbie that was talking about the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was Angelica. I don't know. Somebody was talking about the Holy Spirit. You can't overcome this sinful life without the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, God said, just ask him. He'll fill you up to overflowing. And you'll be doing the things that God wants you to do. I don't know how you're going to make it in the tribulation to come if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's where the overcoming power comes from, is the Holy Spirit. Some of you might say that, I was filled with the Spirit when I was when I came to Jesus. Well, that's two separate experiences, actually. If you go look in the book of Acts, you'll see where Paul and all of them found out it was a separate baptism of the Spirit. Than salvation was. It can come at salvation if you pray for it, but that doesn't mean that you got it. And by it, I'm talking about filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and you have all the power of heaven available to you at that time. A lot of people out there. Go ahead.
I think that's one of the misconceptions today, and actually David touched on it a little bit lately in some of his teachings about spirit, soul, and body, you know, the manifestation at the end, where, you know, we receive a new spirit initially when we come into Christ and come into the kingdom, but that's not the same as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like you're talking about. Receiving a spirit and getting the baptism are really two different things. And yeah, I think you're touching on that now.
Well, yeah, that's right. It's the power of God, and it makes available to you to all the blessings in heaven. All of them. You know, not just some of them, all of them. But you have to read the Word of God. You have to put the Word of God in your heart to know and understand what it is to walk like Christ. That'll give you that overcoming power. I'm hearing some music here or something. Somebody ain't muted. Ah, I got it. Okay. All right, anybody else want to comment on what we're talking about tonight? It's talking about dying to self.
I think I want to comment again a little more on the spirit like you're talking about.
Okay.
I could actually believe that all the disciples, when they were walking with Jesus all that time, they had a new spirit. They had a renewed spirit in them. But they still didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Pentecost. So we don't see the mighty faith, the mighty walk of Christ until after that baptism.
What did the people say at Pentecost when they saw them old dumb fishermen out there speaking the word of God, you know, with power? Glory to God. 3,000 of them got saved. Praise God. Go ahead, Marlon or Gayno. Marlon, there's no okay. Audio. But yeah, now it's coming
can
out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I guess I had my phone muted. I pressed the *6, but I still had my phone muted. Okay. Anyway, the thing that I have been dealing with is emotions, and I've talked about that before. And just listening to everyone share, I guess perhaps the thing that I'm not doing is believing. You know, I've been praying and, you know, telling myself that I believe that the Lord is taking this problem from me. Of the biggest thing that gets to me is the news. It just really stirs my spirit, and so. But I think from listening to everyone, what I have been doing is I turn the radio off and I either listen to a Bible study or praise and worship music, or, you know, I totally don't have it on. But perhaps what I am supposed to do is leave it on and believe that the Lord is going to take that stirring of my spirit. But I was always, you know, if the news was on, there's so much, oh, I don't know what word to use to describe it, but it just, it's a factious spirit because there's just so much coming at each other. And so I just turn it off and do something else, but that's not really letting God show me that he has taken that from me is what I'm getting out of this. And so I guess, I know he has really led me to a lot of scriptures, and I have really appreciated the Bible studies that have been on, because they're just the ones that the Lord took me to. And then when I hear him on the Bible studies, it's like, oh, I was hearing him. He was telling me to do these things. And so that's been a blessing. But I guess after listening tonight, it perhaps I'm maybe to leave it on and let the Lord show me that he has taken that from me. So I'd just like your thought on that.
Leaving what on?
The radio. You know, they talk about stuff and it just, oh my goodness, it just... Honestly, I get angry.
Well,
this isn't good.
That's the faction spirit. And no, I would not leave it on. I'd turn it off. Here's why.
Yeah.
Here's why, because...
Well, I don't.
Go ahead.
I don't. And then after listening to you, I was wondering if by turning it off, was I not allowing the Lord to show me that... that kind of talking could be on, but he would take that from me, that I get so disturbed and angry. But I turn it off, and I just can't listen to it. I know some people can listen to it, and it has no effect on them, but I'm not one of those people. And so I turn it off, and I've listened to a lot of Bible studies and a lot of praise and worship, and I do a lot, you know, just studying the Word too. But I was just wondering if I wasn't giving the Lord that chance to show me, because I don't, you know, to show me that He has taken that from me. But anyway, that's kind of one of my biggest issues I've been dealing with.
Yeah, well, I know this, that the Lord wants us praying for the government, you know, to drain the swamp, as Trump says, and get all the evil, corrupt people out of there. Other than that, to keep up with what's going on day to day, man, you spend all day long trying to keep up with what's going on up there. I'm telling you what, they are at each other's throat. Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I just thank the Lord that He's sovereign and He knows what He's going to do. Amen. With the whole situation.
There you
and
go.
I just pray for Him, and then I turn it off and I'm gone. It's out of here.
Well,
anyway,
you know,
I was just wondering if I was wrong in the way I was handling it, if I was, because maybe there's other things that would, you know, trigger those things to me. I haven't noticed it that much, but it's that national news thing, it's like that's all that's on the radio, and the stuff that comes in the mail, you got to go through that, and then it's all over again, and it just it's more than I want to deal with.
Well, that's you're doing just exactly right. I think just turn that thing off, because you can't, you remember what the Lord says about faction. You listen to that faction,
yeah.
You don't know who's right and who's wrong up there most of the time. So
really,
just
I don't. Yeah, that is what I do. I just thank the Lord that He's sovereign and He knows what He's going to do. And, you know, I know that whatever happens, it's what He wants to be. So, anyway,
amen.
I let it go at that. But I was just, after listening to you, I thought, oh, maybe I'm not doing this right. But anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, the Lord has given us, just to cap it all off here, the Lord has given us many, many words of knowledge about being news junkies, not to be a news junkie. And that is, you got to find out what's going on. You got to do this. And just like Gayno was talking about, you know, in your own mind, that you listen to the news long enough, you're going to get mad about something. Those guys up there, they're not going to do right. They're not going to do right until Jesus comes. And so what we do is we just pray like God wants us to pray. He wants us to pray for the people in authority and for God to get rid of the evil corruptness up there. And that's exactly what's happening. And all we have to do is just believe. And as far as that goes. All right, that's pretty good there. Go ahead. Somebody got something they want to comment on. Go ahead, Ken.
I like to read the news. That way you can kind of skip over the nonsense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, as long as it doesn't affect you.
It's better than having to.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect me. And it's better than having to listen to all the people go back and forth with a bunch of gibberish.
Amen. Yep. How do you know you're getting the real news?
It's pretty hard sometimes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I the news that we get from the Lord, so that's the best place to get it, right?
That's
praise
right.
God. We, you know, I check that. Look, don't get me wrong. I check it every now and then. Somebody tell me something going on, I'll go and check it out. But I pray against it if it's something bad, or I play for it if something good. You know, I don't know. Whatever the Lord wants me to do. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And, that's where I want to get to. I want to be able to wake up in the morning, and I want God to tell me every step of the way what to do, you know. And if I'm wrong, I want God to, when I get spanked for doing something wrong, then the first thing I look at, you know, I said, uh-oh, well, I don't need to be doing that no more. And so I repent and go on back to doing what God wants me to do. And that's the walk that God's got us all on, essentially. And I know it's kind of basic, but the main thing is this, is stay in the Word and do what the Word says. And when you come across something in the Word, you've heard David say this time and time again, when you come across something in the Word of God that goes against what you're doing, then what's the Lord want us to do? He wants us to repent, which means change, and go ahead and start doing what He wants us to do. I mean, there's a lot of people that they want to try to twist scriptures and make holiness a thing of the millennial reign, or a thing that you do when you get raptured out of here on the way up to heaven. You're going to get this holiness. It's going to be instantaneous on the way up. No, it ain't going to happen like that. If you're not holy before He comes, you ain't going to be, you ain't going, folks. I mean, that's just the Word of God. He said, there ain't going to be no sin in heaven. But if you're doing everything that you know to do, if you're doing everything that God has told you to do, it don't make any difference whether you're a new Christian or a 40-year-old Christian. As long as you're doing everything that God has told you to do, then you're accounted righteous in God's eyes. It don't make any difference what that preacher, well, you ain't tithing. You ain't going to heaven because you ain't tithing. Don't get me started on tithing. But anyway, that's the way He wants us. He wants to get in the Word and do what the Word says and forget about these preachers. The preachers won't do anything. You're going to be going to heaven on His teachings. Now, are you going to, trust your soul, your very soul, to a man? Come on now, you need to do it to somebody that's filled with the Holy Spirit and understands what the Scripture says. And that's what He's talking about when He says, just allow the Holy Spirit. You need to get that confirmation from the Holy Spirit that that's what's right and what's wrong in the teachings that you listen to. I don't care who it is. Amen.
All right. I always hear the one that Jesus did it all, so I don't have to. That's when I get off.
Amen. I like what Kenneth Hagin always said. He said, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. But there was some more to it, but I can't remember what it was. But anyway. All right, anybody else about this? Walking holy. Walking the steps of Jesus. Doing the Romans 6 thing. And the Romans 7 thing. And the Romans 8 thing.
I think David said something that was pretty, kind of hit me in the face a little bit, because it was a little truth there recently. He said that what Satan will do is accuse you of things that he's doing himself. And I thought, oh, you know, how true is that, you know? So you talk about dying to self, and you turn around, he's going to be accusing you of you doing things that he's doing to you. He's going to accuse you of the same thing, even though you're not doing it. He'll make you, I've had that happen at work recently. I had a guy accuse me of something that was totally out of line. It's like I didn't have nothing to do with it. But it was just, that kind of struck in my face, that the way Satan works and the way this death of flesh works is you're going to be, things are going to be going in your face that you don't necessarily have to own, because they might not even be a part of what they're saying, but they're still going to accuse you of it. They're going to bait you as much as they can. And I just realized, and then I can't remember who it was. Was that Gaino that read about Jesus at the Second Peter, was it? And then recently in one of the scriptures I got was Mark 15:29. This is when Jesus was on the cross. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads at him and saying, ha, you are going to destroy the temple. Rebuild it in 3 days. Here it is, Jesus hanging on a cross, and they're railing at him now still. Just think of what he had to go through there. He said, save yourself. Come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves, saying, he saved others. He can't even save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, see that we may see and believe. And those who were crucified with him were casting the same insults at him. You know, we see that going on in Christ, and we see the stuff he had to deal with even in his flesh. He's hanging on a cross for us, and Satan is still railing at him. through these men. And we probably will get real there too. Maybe not to that extent. But it's a pretty tough road. You got to figure you when your flesh is going to be put on that cross, and it's time for you to let some of that old man die. Well, it's probably not going to be very pleasant. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. We're all going to go through it. Try to remember what Jesus went through. Try to keep that patience and composure.
Amen. You know, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God. Why is it in the Son of God? Because he's the one that's going to clean us up, right? Who loved me and gave himself up for me. And he wants us to manifest himself, don't he? Amen. God expects that to be manifested. He expects Christ in us to be manifested. And he expects us to take faith in the promises that he's given us and to go ahead and fight that good fight of faith, to lay hold on that life eternal, right? Hebrews 10:10 says, by which will we have been sanctified. What does sanctification mean?
Set apart, holy.
Separation from sin, don't it? Separation from sin, what? Unto God. Unto God. And that's exactly what God gave us in that in the Word of God. He's taken away our iniquity. Remember what happened in Zechariah to Ezekiel? What happened? Holy Spirit lifted him up, took that old sinful clothes off of him, and gave him a righteous robe, didn't he? Gave him a clean garment. And that's the way he's doing us, the same way. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. It ain't nothing that we do other than what we read in the Word of God and allow God to do in us.
Yes.
He's taken away our iniquity. He's given us that new garment. And all we have to do is believe. And that's our position in Christ. That's what we have. That's what we garner by faith. We have to take it violently with the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah. Hey, Michael.
Yeah. Go ahead there, Denny.
Yeah. I think another thing that's helpful, if we see ourselves as, you know, there's me inside of me and there's Christ inside of me, and who's going to win this battle? Who's going to really rule my life? If that is going on, that means the me inside of me has not been reckoned dead. That part has to die and be reckoned dead. And we have to see ourselves that when Christ comes in our spirit and also in our soul, so we have the mind of Christ, when he comes in, he so co-mingles with us that we become one with him. So that then it's Christ living in us, just like you said. So it's, don't get into that battle of the two natures. That one nature has to be reckoned dead so it doesn't exist anymore. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We just have to keep on believing. Keep on believing. All right, anyone else? Hebrews 10:18, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Praise God. And that's through the offering up of Christ, wasn't it? All of those who were separated from his sins were sanctified, praise God. And God is expecting us to bear fruit of what we have in Christ. And he's given it to us as a gift. It ain't nothing that we can do with it. He's just given it to us. We have to reach out, though. We got to take it by faith. When you take it by faith and accept it and confess it, guess what? You're going to manifest it. As easy as that. You have to confess it with your mouth. Are you holy? Praise God. Yes, I am. Well, I don't see holy. Don't make no difference what you see. I'll just believe what the Word of God is saying, because we're confessing with our mouth, just like God did when he spoke the world into existence, didn't he? He called those things that are not as though they were. We're doing the same thing. We're calling those things that are not as though they were. I'm holy. I don't care what you say about me. because me and God, it's just me and God. And I'm believing. I'm putting my faith and trust in the promises of God, and I believe what he says, so therefore I am, right? Now, I don't mean that. No. don't y'all get no ideas there, but I'm just saying that we all walk by faith. All right, anybody else? Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Go ahead, Willie.
Into, you know, trying to walk, you know, the walk myself. It's all, that's the best way I can say it. It's like, I'll put it this way. When I was on the bus and the Lord was showing me what he showed on the bus, immediately there was an attack. You know, but the, you know, the Holy Spirit intervened. And, you know, I started, you know, casting down, you know, the temptations and the imaginations and coming against those principalities and powers. It's very hard for me to, you know, sometimes stay in that state of mind. I don't know if anyone ever struggled with that. It just feels like, you know, when I don't know what I'm doing, that's when it's being done. And when I think I have knowledge of what needs to be done, the flesh seems to pop up and say, you know, let's do this. If you understand what I'm trying to say, it's very, that's the best way I could put it. And I end up losing. I'm just like, Lord, you know, how to end up back here again. And I often, you know, I grew up in, you know, black churches. You know, to me, the saying of being filled with the Holy Spirit is, you know, this overwhelming power that overtakes you and you're flying across the room. And that's always been somewhat a part of my life. Like, okay, whenever I hear filled with the Holy Spirit, power, yes, praise God. You're running back and forth, you know. I'm trying to comprehend being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I get bits and portions. And I'm like, does being filled with the Holy Spirit, I know that there are spiritual gifts, but how does that work in day-to-day living? Someone says be filled with the Holy Spirit, but how does that being filled with the Holy Spirit work in day-to-day living? I guess I got more than one
thing. That question is a good question. How do once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, how do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us? Well, we do it by faith, because when you tell the Lord, I want to do exactly like you want me to do. Don't you think he's right in that day? Okay, Willie's, he wants to do everything I want to do. Okay, I'm going to make a note of that. I'm going to send them angels down there. I'm going to have them watch him, and they're going to show him what I want him to do. God gives you the overcoming power when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a power that you have to understand by faith. It's not something that it can be manifested in the physical realm, but most generally it's by faith. We believe it. Next thing you know, you're overcoming, just like Denny was talking about earlier. It's just something that you know is happening because you're doing it by faith. You know God's working that overcoming life in our life because of what the Word of God says. All those promises in the Word of God are by faith, and the Holy Spirit is confirming that through our spiritual walk with him. Anybody else want to try something on that? Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to mention, because what you were talking about there was manifestation, where you believe in the Word of God. And y'all know the verse where it says, for living is the Word of God and active. That's the same word that actually created everything in the book of Genesis. And this is the word that he's going to remind you of, because you're reading the Bible, and he's going to remind you of that word, as it says in John 14:27. He's going to send the Comforter, and he's going to remind you of everything he taught you. because this word is living and active, and this is what's going to manifest in you. This has to manifest in you. This is a definition for that manifestation of your faith in this word. It's living and active. And I'm just mentioning that so that it would be maybe a help, because I'm going to try that one now. And we're going to see if that's going to work. It's not our work. It's his living word and active.
Amen.
And that's what I just wanted to, it just seems so remarkable that that definition is there. It's a knowledge. It's a glory of God's knowledge that it's living and active. And we need to have faith in that.
Amen. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to comment a little bit on what Willie is saying. I could relate to everything he's talking about. I think one of the things I have to do is remind myself is that I have to quit struggling with sin. All right, how's that done? I mean, when I feel like I have to fight the battle all the time, and like I've got to cast this down, cast that down, I'm not walking by faith anymore. I'm walking by fear. I'm walking by trying to stay on top of this little thing so I can walk in that sanctified life. But if I take it by faith, and just relax and realize that I'm not under the law, I'm under grace, and I get to walk in the grace of the Lord. I get to walk in this newness of life because it's something he's granted and gave to me. It's a free gift. Then I'm no longer trying to satisfy what I think I have to do legally to stay on top of it, to keep that edge, because I can't keep that edge. I'm going to fall if I try to keep that edge. But if I try to allow the Lord, just by, like Michael talked about with the promises, just remember the promises and know that it's a gift. We're just walking with the grace and the faith and the gift. But the last line that we read in Romans was 14, and it's very good. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. We have to remind ourselves, let's don't get back into legalism. Let's don't try to find out what we got to make work. Let's don't find that formula. That's what the churches are doing. Let's just remember what we're still under grace and try to keep in mind what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is just, it's something you can't earn. It's something that you just have. So if we remember we have it and just try to believe that, it kind of settles us down. We're not trying to work our way through this, even though we're working through the scriptures and getting in our hearts and constantly praying, seeking the Lord. I'm not saying not to do that, not to run after the Lord. I'm just saying, don't take this sin thing and think that it's something you have to conquer. It's something that was already conquered. We have dominion over it. Because if we think we're having to struggle with sin all the time, we're still trying to do it by the law. And that's what the church does. They try to do things by the law, and they try to condemn people under the law and try to say, you are a sinner. You're not meet these expectations, and you need to repent. And wow, that's pretty hard. Pretty hard to do. But if you just relax and let the Lord do it for you and believe that, the promise is that, hey, you're not under sin's dominion. You just get to walk free. And even if you might be tempted, it doesn't mean you're walking in sin. Temptation doesn't mean you fell into it. It means it was there, and you said, well, that's fine. You walked away from it. You weren't under his dominion.
Amen. Well, that Holy Spirit also, just to reiterate a little bit about what Andrew was talking about, that Holy Spirit is that voice, is that consciousness that you know, when that temptation comes up and you say, well, wait a minute, hang on there now, here's what the Word says. And then you go ahead and say, okay, so I back off that, and thank you, Jesus. And that's the overcoming power that God gives us. It's bringing those scriptures to mind, bringing our conscience in action to tell us what to do and what not to do. That's the Holy Spirit doing it, isn't it? So that's part of it. That's part of it. Praise God. All right, anybody else?
Hello.
Oh, go ahead.
How do you deal with condemnation? Struggling with it.
Okay, well, there's a good way. There's a simple way to deal with condemnation. We cast it out. It's a spirit. So let's just cast it out. Now, your job from this point on, after we cast it out, is to believe that it's gone. You have to believe that it's gone. And when it tries to come back, you rebuke it. Nope, that's already been cast out in Jesus' name. I don't have to believe that you're not going to put me under condemnation anymore because I'm a child of God. That's faith. That's calling the things that are not as though they were. So we're going to cast that thing out, Megan. You're going to be free from it. You're not going to get any. Don't be looking back. You can't be looking back. You always look forward. Who are you looking forward to? You're looking forward to Jesus. Only to Jesus. So in the name of Jesus right now, we command that spirit of condemnation off of Megan. You go. She's a child of God. You don't have any kind of ground to stay on her, in her, in Jesus' name. And I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to go from her right now. And I thank you, Father, that she is free. And I praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that she is free from that. You believe that, Megan?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have any unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, that's something that's got to go because he's got a right to be there unless you get rid of that unforgiveness. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, if you don't forgive, I can't forgive you. So that's what we do, okay? Then if you have trouble yourself giving unforgiveness, tell God to take it from you. And that's what we do as a child of God. We ask the Lord to take those things that he wants you at your weak point, Megan. And your weak point is, I can't give it up. I can't give it up. Lord, you got to take it from me. And then believe from that point on that he's taking it out of your heart, okay? That's the way you do that. All right? Then go ahead and confess that unforgiveness out of you.
Right now?
Yeah, if you want to. Confess it before me. Isn't that what it said?
Yeah. Well, Lord, confess for forgiveness, and I ask you to take it away from me. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, we thank you that you've cleansed her heart of unforgiveness from this point on. In Jesus' name. Now, you spirit of unforgiveness, you go from her. In the name of Jesus. Condemnation, go from her in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for cleaning her up from all of this torment and bondage that she's been in. And we thank you, Father, she is free. You said who the Lord has set free is free indeed. Megan, you're free, girl. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everybody in here believe that? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Megan is free.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise God. I feel better.
Now if the unforgiveness comes back on you in any way, Megan, just cast it off. You say you don't have to receive that. You forgave that person. You forgave whatever it is. It keeps on trying to come back into your heart. You say, I don't receive that. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Amen. The condemnation, same way. Go ahead.
I did have a wrote a list of people I can forgive. I didn't finish. Should I continue?
You go ahead and do whatever you think is necessary, hon.
Okay.
Did you have something else you wanted to pray about?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Willie.
You know, the Lord just gave me this really quick. You know, as God has set in every man's heart to give, so let him give. And that also deals with our sin nature. When he convicts you to confess and to give that sin nature, it says, give and you shall be given. When we give up those things, you know, he gives us something in return. You know, and so whatever in our conscience we decide to hold back, and we know we need deliverance from, but we want to beat around the bush about and not give it up. You know, we're missing out on, you know, he says, he shall get you if you give, you know, he shall give. That's the best way I could put it, but it just, that just came to my mind. It's interesting.
Amen. Yeah, if you got something to confess that you've not forgiven, you need to get it out there. Praise God. Amen. What do you say, Jeremy? How you doing, brother?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing great. Been talking about Romans 6.
Romans 6. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I heard a little bit of that at the start. I was at a scouts meeting tonight and with Kane. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I would like to say, though, because you guys were talking about grace just a few minutes ago. I believe Brother Dave was, and grace is subjective, right? And Romans 14 will tell us that it's subjective, right? I like this parable. If I believe a cursed toaster can't hurt me, but Brother Dave believes that the curse on that toaster is going to bring all sorts of demons into his house, and we're roommates, and I bring that cursed toaster in knowing that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world that causes him to stumble. Right, and he freaks out because it could, you know, there's no telling what, you know, where that could have been from Amityville. Who knows, right? But see, the fear is the doorway Satan will use there in that scenario, right? Well, God says that's evil, so we have to be careful with our grace, and it's subjective to want to each of us, and so we're not to use our grace and impose upon other people, right? We, you know, we talk about the meat. Paul refers to that as the meat, but Christ says, "My flesh is my meat. My flesh is the meat." Right. And so when we have his ways, right, and remember the Pharisees said, look at him, a friend of publicans and sinners. Right. And so he can walk with them and not feel convicted or condemned by any means. Right. And you can go into anywhere. You can go, you know, and just love the Lord and realize that nothing can hurt you. Right. Unless it's unclean of it. You know, if you believe something to be unclean, it is unclean. You know, that's what Romans 14:14 says. If you esteem it to be unclean, then to you, you're going to receive it as unclean. Esteem is meaning to lift it up. If I lift it up on high and say that is unclean, then of course it's going to be. Well, that's the same thing with grace, you know. And I mean, that we receive, and it's just, there's so much contention. You talked about the ministry of condemnation, about receiving condemnation. There's so much contention in the church, in the body. It's everything from if you're saved, whether or not you're baptized or not, should we tithe, should we not, right? And these are church principles that really separate, they're doctrinal issues that separate one from another. It blows the body of Christ all apart over little things that really should be a subjective thing unto you. I can teach that all I want. If you don't agree with it, I shouldn't impose it upon you. You know, but when I start insisting, then I'm scorching you with the light I'm supposed to be. And I can't do that, right? I'm a light on the hill, right? So if that's the case, and God sees that, he sees that you're using that, so he's going to put a basket right over you and say, okay, you need to calm down, you need to chill out, and let's revisit the first principles of Christ here. Let's figure out where we are, because you're not walking accordingly. Well, what God do we actually worship? Do we worship the God of this world or the God of all creation? Because that's the way the God of this world operates. He operates through throwing condemnation at one another, you know? And so our grace is sufficient for us. Therefore, glory in your infirmities. You know, you can't have Jesus and win the argument. Which one do you want to win? You know? So just receive him, man. And look at Jesus. How often did he argue with the Pharisees? None. He said what he had to say. Then when he was abraded, he's like, hey, I find fault. He got up and left and went and preached. Sure, he preached against their doctrines. He was teaching the people. You know, he saw people that were scattered abroad and didn't have a shepherd, so he taught them, right? But, you know, we have to discern whether or not people are being contentious. If they're sitting there trying to, you know, look at what the Pharisees said. They tempted him. They demanded him, right? And so we have to discern whether or not, you know, people are just looking to argue or if they're actually asking a question. And so that's something that's individual for everybody else. Not only comes to trial and error. You know, it's not like you have a checklist you can pull out and be like, okay, well, if they respond this way, then it's this way. And it doesn't work like that. You know, so we have to live through the Holy Spirit in our own grace. And that's wise as a dove and as gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. And so, you know, just resting in the Lord. And that's pretty much where I'm at there. I don't know if that was Romans 6 too much. Probably not. But still, I think it was more Romans 14.
Amen. Okay, well, we're just about out of time here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to pray? Thank you, Jeremy. Has anybody got anything they want to pray about before we leave?
Oh, okay. I wanted to tell you guys, thank you for praying for my mom. She went on the hospital today. She's been there a month.
Praise God.
A month, man. I would love to see the insurance bill for that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, praise God.
Still, yeah. You know, a month. Yeah, in the ICU, too. That's like, you know, that's like the extended stay.
Whoa. Glory to God. Okay.
You know, praise God. So she made that through. Thank you all.
Amen. All right. Before we pray and close out, does anybody have anything that they'd like to talk about next week? What is today? This is Tuesday. I mean Thursday.
You want to continue on this Romans 6?
Yeah, we can do that.
We might even get into 7 a little bit, but this is really good. Romans is good.
Think about works of the flesh and works of the spirit also during this same time. All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for an awesome time tonight, and I've learned a little. I know everybody else has learned a little bit, and I praise you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, that we're all learning how to walk in the Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that you guide us daily, guide our every step, Lord, and guard our lips not to say anything contrary to what you've asked us to talk about. And that's to speak as an oracle of God. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless our night tonight as we take time to rest tonight, Lord, and give us a good night's rest, Lord. Let it be a supernatural rest, and we thank you for it, Lord. Give us dreams and visions of the things to come so that we'll understand what to pray and what not to pray for, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Bless us all, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, folks, we'll see y'all again Thursday night, God willing.
Jesus. Good night.
Everybody's good night. Unmuted. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night.
Everyone. Thanks, Dave.
Good night, y'all. Good night, Willie. Good night, Jeremy.
Good night. Hey, just good night. When you unmute everybody once, have you just heard something weird, like somebody watching Cops way too loud?
No, I didn't.
I just wonder, because that's got to be shocking. You don't know, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, boom, you're here for the first time.
Oh, my. No, I didn't hear that. Angelica, it's glad to have you back, girl.
Thank you. Lord bless you. Have a good night.
All right, y'all too. Good night, Wade and Jeanette. Y'all be blessed. God bless you. All right, Willie, God bless you, brother. Thank you, Lord.